John Gambling with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
All right, Bill Rock, thanks for the intro. Hello, everybody. Happy first day of July, and it is a Friday. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning. You are probably talking about nothing other than the big weigh-in today.
The big weigh-in, I heard. We did just a few moments ago talk about it with Lynn Berman, the big weigh-in that you're going to conduct here right after the show.
I'm going to Mount Sinai for something, I'm ribbon cutting, but then I'm coming back downtown for the big weigh-in for the hot dog eating competition.
I mean, you know, it doesn't get any bigger than that, does it?
Well, tonight's Subway Series at Citi Field
is comparable.
I'm going to go and root for New York. Be very careful.
Right, exactly.
I try to go to an equal number of Mets and Yankees games.
No,
people say, well, don't you have a preference? No, I mean, I like good baseball. And the Mets are playing well, and the Yankees are playing
well. It should be very good baseball tonight, actually.
Yeah, I mean, Yankees have five in a row, and Girardi's really, he's a good coach, and he's doing a good job. And the Mets, you know, everybody keeps counting them out, but there they are. They scored 52 runs in four games. It's exciting baseball.
They hadn't scored 52 runs in 10 games, probably.
Okay, in the right direction. No, I mean, all kidding aside, a Subway Series and the World Series would be phenomenal for the city. But I like both teams. And they're both very different, and the stadiums are different, and the fans are different.
You will not be attending, I don't think, the hot dog eating contest when it actually...
The actual contest. I stay away from that because I don't want to take away
from
the stars.
You are a hot dog guy. I mean, I know you are.
Yeah, and I like Nathan's Hot Dogs at Coney Island. It's hard to go to Coney Island without stopping at Nathan's.
Beaches are open, pools are open around the city.
It's going to be great weather. The only thing is, please, look... Don't go in the water when there's no lifeguard. After hours or, you know, before the lifeguards get there, it just isn't worth the tragedy. And the other thing is stay away from fireworks. We used to have, I think the numbers, I should check them today, was something like 150 cases of kids going to hospitals on the 4th of July with injuries. Fingers blown off, blindness, sometimes every once in a while.
Burns, yeah.
And last year, I think it was down to single digits or less. So, I mean, we really have made, the police department has worked very hard, the fire department very hard stop it. We look at in Pennsylvania, you'll love this. Pennsylvania sells fireworks to people from out of state. They're too dangerous for Pennsylvanians to have them, but they don't mind people in other states. So we go. And
only
look,
in government only can you government. Come up with that kind of
so
stuff.
So we look in the parking lot, write down the license plates, and when they come to New York, grab them, confiscate the car, the fireworks, and charge them.
And you are duly warned.
Yeah, you know, this is craziness. But the Macy's fireworks are going to be on the Hudson River around 23rd Street, a little further south this time.
And then all the way around the east side, too.
You know, Macy's a great corporate citizen. Between the fireworks and the parade, two things that certainly are on television around the world help our tourism business big time.
Interesting. I found something out about the pools. There are 54 pools in the city, public pools in the city of New York. And this summer, there is a program for kids under 18. They can go get free meals, which were provided by the American Dairy Association, the New York Yankees.
Really?
I wasn't aware of it either. And I don't know if it's at every single pool, but at some of these pools, which is a great idea for kids in inner city kids can, you know, swim and something to eat.
We have an enormous number of beaches. We have 50-odd pools. As long as everybody's safe, they can have a good time and the weather's going to cooperate. Chance of more humidity and a little bit of rain on Sunday, but not much. Forecast for today, tomorrow, and Monday, perfect.
Any parading for you on
parade on Staten Island, southern end of Staten Island, do it every year. It's a nice parade, too, because you can almost shake hands with everybody on the sidelines. And there's a volunteer fire company there. We think the FDNY does everything, but on Staten Island, there is a volunteer fire company as well. Absolutely. They put out fires. And while they've never put out a fire in my house, they certainly have provided me with hot sausage and beer every time. So after the parade, we always go for a quick...
A little visit.
Yeah, I mean, and I always say only one piece of sausage and one beer, and it winds up a little bit more than that. So, and then I take some of the commissioners to dinner before the fireworks, and we go watch do it every year.
Very cool. Very good. So summertime in the city is always the best. Before we get into sort of the heavier stuff here...
This is not the heaviest
stuff?
Try
the
hot dog eating contest. because you and I ate that, we'd be heavy.
Yeah, I would be heavier. You notice I did not include you in that. The guy, the wacky guy that got on the pole up in Times Square. Yeah. 2 hours worth. It's a judgment call. You know, I talked to Ray Kelly yesterday, and he said, you know, hey, come on, we didn't want to get anybody hurt.
If you taser somebody, you can die.
Yeah, we had that bad event a year or so ago.
I mean, so it's a judgment call. It's easy for us to sit there and make fun of it and say, you know, I would have done it differently. Number one, in retrospect, everybody does things differently. And number two, it's the guy there or the woman there that's got to make a decision. They made a decision. Nobody got hurt. Inconvenience, yes. Is it the world's worst thing? No. Should it have happened? No. But let's blame the guy who did it, not the cops who responded.
Oh, that's true. I mean, I don't think anybody's given, you know, props to the lunatic that climbed up there, but, you know.
Having said that, certainly got a lot of publicity.
It certainly did. The taxi livery thing, it was signed. The bill has been signed, correct?
No,
it has not been signed.
Not been signed yet. It goes to the governor. I talked to the governor about it yesterday. I explained to him how important it is. He certainly understood. Hopeful that he will read it. He seemed very optimistic. The Democratic Assembly, the Republican Senate, both passed the bill. It does two things. Number one, it provides for the first time real taxi service outside of Manhattan, south of 96th, and the other four boroughs. If you go north of 96th, there are very few cabs in the streets. You go to the Bronx and Queens and Brooklyn and Staten Island, there are virtually none. And you know exactly what percentage of taxis, yellow cabs, go to these places because of the GPS. That's one of the advantages. We can really see whether or not the people of the city are getting good service. And they're not. Now, the yellow cabs, it's a great business. They work hard. They provide a great service. Enormous number of people take taxis, and the revenue from taxis, remember this from a few years ago, I think the revenues that taxis generate exceed the revenues from the buses in the city, something like, whatever.
Well, the fare is a little higher.
Yeah, but I'll go back and take a look, but it's something like that. It is not a small part of the equation of how you get around the city. It's a very important part. Unfortunately, Staten Island and Brooklyn and Queens and the Bronx don't, and people north of 96 really don't have that option. This is going to put out 30 or 40,000, if you get the number, permits. People will be able to get the permits and drive a taxi. It'll be a different color, but it will have the same GPS and ability to use a credit card and maps and all of that stuff. But they will not be able to hail in Manhattan. They can drive somebody into Manhattan, but they can't pick up somebody on the street.
Will they still have radios or no? These cars will not. Or they will still have their radios.
They can still do
the radio calls.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you don't want to take away that service. Right now, there's an awful lot of livery cabs, people who are trying to make a living driving these cabs. They act illegally, and when people hail them in the out of boroughs, as people call it, I don't think it's out of. I think there's. We could argue that Manhattan's on an island and only the Bronx is on the mainland, if you think about it. There's a lot of hardworking people. They'll be able to afford these permits. At the same time, we're going to sell another 1,500 yellow cab permits, which the yellow cab drivers don't seem to think is a problem. There's just so much demand for taxis in the city, they think the market will be able to absorb it. And there's a company, I think it's called Medallion Finance, that finances drivers who want to buy medallions, which sell for instance something like $800,000.
There must be money in them.
There must be money in driving. Right, sure. In spite of all this talk about more medallions and permits for this other colored kind of taxi and other four boroughs north of 96, that stock is, I watch it, TAX size of stock, it keeps going up. So the marketplace thinks this is not going to hurt either the liveries or the yellows, but it is going to provide a lot of extra service. And incidentally, it's going to generate generate roughly $1 billion for New York City because the price of the medallions, the $800,000 ones
taxable,
in particular,
right?
Well, you're going to sell the medallions. Oh, yes, we get sales tax from
sales tax,
when
right.
people use them. But the medallion sales, the city sells those medallions at auction.
Income.
Another $1 billion, which in won't be this year, part next year, part of the year after.
When does this livery change go into effect?
Well,
when would you like it to?
First, we've got to get the governor to sign it,
right.
optimistic there. And then we've got to talk. We'll talk to the industry. It takes a while to... You want to go through the process. We don't just throw these things on the market. We want to move them out slowly so the marketplace can absorb them and the city can get the most revenue for selling the medallions. And the drivers are going to have to get a different car, or maybe, I don't know if they have to get a different car, but they certainly have to paint them. You want a color that is not yellow. When you see it like the yellow car now, you know it's a taxi.
And you're not going to make that decision to come over.
David Yaski.
David Yaski will. But would you expect this before the end of the year? In 11, or do you think it'll be 12?
It'll be 12.
Okay. Yeah. All right, sit tight, Mr. Mayor, if you would. 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. Take care of a couple of bits of business here. One of them to remind you that 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. If you've got a question for the mayor, it's good to get in line early. 19 after 8, right back.
Mayor Mike and John Gambling on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam. Born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies.
The great James Cagney right there, and I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy on
before our time, though, no.
Yeah, but I mean, the song is Fourth of July weekend, summertime.
My mother used to say her first recollection of World War One, not two, one, was going to buy flags for Armistice Day.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very patriotic time in our country, and we sort of fell off the wagon, and now patriotism's back.
I've been referring to this study with a smile on my face today from Harvard, saying that the 4th of July parades energize only Republicans and turn
kids... Well, as far as I know, in New York City, the only parade is on the southern end of Staten Island, and that's probably a pretty Republican district.
It turns kids into Republicans and helps boost the GOP turnout during elections. That's coming from
Harvard. Democrats can have parades, too, if they want. No, it's funny. We don't have... Memorial Day, we certainly have parades, Labor Day parades, but there's not a lot of parades on the 4th of July. The one that I always go to is this one on the southern end of Staten Island.
It's basically turned into barbecues and, the like.
A lot of these things, we turn them into holidays when they have a more serious purpose. I suppose July 4th you can celebrate. That's one that's nothing wrong with.
It's
just total celebration. Memorial Day is a lot more serious, and I always find it hard to say, should we be out there saying Happy Memorial Day?
No, it's really an observance.
But the 4th, I guess, is nothing but good things.
All right. Well, last Friday we were sitting here and we were talking about the budget and,
and we have one.
We have one now.
On time, balanced. Not everybody is happy, which is, I guess, what democracy is supposed to do, produce something in the middle. The city services will be able to continue. We have preserved the reserves that we set aside for next year. We did not use those. Some of our tax revenues are a touch better than what we'd thought. But I think we did a calculation, it was 0.25% better. So you can't forecast any more closer than that. And it could be next time 0.25% under. The UFT was the only union that came up with some savings. Not enough to pay for the whole thing, but enough to show a real good faith effort. And working with Speaker Quinn and the City Council, we came up with enough money to keep the teachers on the jobs. The real problem with the education system is that with LIFO, last in, first out, you just to go and to cut back, and you would get rid of the teachers. You would have to downsize, and you would have to lay off almost all of the new teachers we hired in the last couple of years. It would be devastating, particularly as you bump, because when one school may lose a young teacher, but then teacher from another school may get assigned
you
over there.
Think that LIFO, you think that LIFO could go away next year? And so, because next year you're going to have the same problem.
I'm going to fight the same battles, and people say, oh, you don't win in Albany. You know, if we won every battle in Albany, we are not fighting the right battles. You've got to go and fight the ones that are almost impossible, and every once in a while you'll win one. And that moves the ball down the field.
Because does it? If you don't get that, you end up with exactly
next
the same
year,
situation
the deficit
next year.
Is, you know, we always they always say, oh, you know, you always predict doom and gloom, and then it never happens. Well, the reason it never happened so far is that we, back when times were great, put away $6 billion in reserves for rainy days. This coming year, we are using four out of that $6 billion. We have two more left. That will help us in 2013 when the projections are another $5 billion deficit with nothing to roll into 2014 when the projections are $5 billion or something. Now, the further out you get, the harder it is to project, and nobody knows what's going to happen to the economy. But the economy in the country is not doing well. In New York, it is still better than the rest of the country, but certainly not back to the 07 levels. And the truth of the matter is, this year, we spent $4 billion more than our revenue. The reason the budget was balanced is we had saved some money earlier and brought it into this year. And we'll part of the way towards next year. The taxi bill is very important because $1 billion, even if it's half a billion in 2012 and half a billion in 2013 and 2014, that helps. But we are going to have to start right away finding more ways to do the same job with less. In the meantime, graduation rates keep going up, and people say graduation rates aren't important. You can't join the Army. You can't work in the sanitation department. A lot of jobs you can't do unless you graduate, so it is a big deal. Not everybody's going to go to college. We'd like to improve the college-ready rate, but that's I don't think that's the only thing to focus on, although we certainly have a lot more to do. We are running the murder rate and crime rate. We are beating last year, which was our second-best year. We're not quite down to the level of the year before, which was the best, but we still have 6 months to go. The NYPD continues to do a great job. Deaths by fire, traffic deaths, all these things, they're all going in the right direction, and we're doing it with less money.
Let me ask the question. I understand the political realities. I talked to Chris Quinn this week, and we got into any and all of this stuff as well, but didn't we just push the can down the road, the problem down the road? Shouldn't we have maybe a judge? Can't you make the argument that we should have started to diminish expenses?
Yes. Well, number one, what is diminished? All the city agencies on together, except for education, have gone up only 28% in the last 10 years, and inflation is 33%. So if you go up less than inflation, you can argue by some kinds of accounting that, in fact, you are reducing expenses. The truth of the matter is the public wants the services. You know, and you see that playing out around this country. You know, Governor Joe stands up and screams and pounds the table, I'm going to cut, and Governor Sally stands up and does it, and then Jane, and then Bob, and the same thing with mayors. But the public doesn't want their services cut, and that's the struggle. You know, these people who say, I want smaller government, they want smaller government, but they don't want to cut anything. And if you're going to balance the budget, Obama happens to be right on this one. You will never balance the budget unless you reduce your expenses and raise your revenues. It's just literally impossible. And the reducing expenses is very difficult because all of the money is spent on the popular programs. The same thing is true for the city. Everybody says, don't touch education, don't touch police, fire, sanitation.
Libraries, pools, beaches.
There's nothing left. There is nothing left. You cut out waste. Oh, come on, Spammy. There is waste. There's always going to be waste, but it is so small. That's not. And you should work as hard as you can at it. But that has nothing to do with
balancing. So are you suggesting that there really is? There is just no way to make that smaller.
No, I think. But you're going to do it gradually. You're not going to do it. Government doesn't work in a revolutionary way. It works in an evolutionary way. And you keep finding ways to move monies from programs that don't work to programs that do work. You keep finding ways to do things better. Our seniors' homes, we've cut a lot of the senior homes because we had a lot of them that virtually nobody used, way underused, and you can't afford all of them. But as long as there's another one in the neighborhood that you could combine to, it's a better ways to do things. You see the governor doing it. Maybe you said closing seven prisons.
Right, prisons.
Maybe you should close a lot more. I don't know. And there's a couple in the city. I haven't looked at which ones they are and how they're going to affect this. But he's got to do that. He's got to face the reality. Having said that, you're not going to do it all in 1 year. And next year, I hate to start the same thing again, but it is true, we have to keep finding ways to do them with less. And this budget that we passed is going to result in a smaller workforce in New York City and a number of layoffs.
I had one of your custodians at a high school on the phone here because we were talking about it the other day. The custodians, and there was a story about they were no-show jobs and stuff. But anyway, he called up just to give his side of the picture, and he said, hey, you want to know where the city's cutting? You should see what I just got whacked in my budget.
Department of Education. We save the teachers' jobs, but the Department of Education has to share. The Department of Education has a budget of roughly $22 billion out of our $65, $66 billion budget. Now, it is one of those agencies that the state does pick up part of the expense, but a lot less than what they did before, which is why we put $2 billion more into education this year. And even then, we don't have enough. So it's just, we have to face the reality that you have to find, you have to pick and choose and decide which services, and you can't have services that go on forever. But the reality of the world is, once you give a service, two things happen. One, you expand it to who's covered. That builds a bigger constituency, harder to cut back, and becomes an entitlement overnight. And even if it's not working, the pressure is to keep it going. And the Republicans and Democrats both point fingers, and they both say, I'm never going to do that. They both vote for their favorite spending program.
Right, and they make a deal with their friend who wants the other one.
Well, yeah, take a look at the country. Our biggest deficits have come under Republican presidents. Not totally, but a lot more than under Democratic presidents. So, come on.
All right, $22 billion for the education department.
The
entire budget of New Jersey is 26.5, so that's kind of an interesting reference point, isn't it? All right, Mr. Mayor, sit tight. Let me take care of a little news. Joe Barton.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show. News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Summer Eve.
Heels and Cross, Summer Breeze on a Summer Song, Bumper Music Friday, John Gambling Show, Mayor Michael Bloomberg on a Friday. Summertime, always a good time. Here, a little quieter generally, wouldn't you say, in the summertime?
Yeah,
from your point of view?
Yeah, the next
job,
month or so, the traffic is less, obviously. People typically take vacations in the summer. It's nice to be outside. I haven't moved any of our staff meetings out into the lawn, but
just yet.
It's not a bad idea.
Summertime, one of the tough parts about the summer is the heat, air conditioning, electricity. Governor says he wants to shut down Indian Point. Your thoughts?
Number one, nuclear probably has to be part of the energy solution just because there's a lot of nuclear plants in this country and around the world, and people are building new ones. If you want to shut down Indian Point, you probably cannot do it for the next 4 or 5 years anyways because we don't have alternative power sources. Now, there are plants being built and power lines bringing power from up north into the city, but it's 4 or 5 years before they get here. So that's the first thing. Number two, the question is nuclear safe? Coal kills an enormous number of people every year. You don't notice it, but it pollutes the air, and the pollution is lethal, and people die, and I can't tell you that that person died because of that coal-fired plant, and people always say, oh, you show me that, or there's no proof. That's not the way the real world works, or science works, and nuclear doesn't kill anybody so far. The difference is that nuclear, if you had a calamity, the consequences would obviously be catastrophic, and I think the governor's got to look at the safety of Indian Point, and he's got a number of alternatives. You could not, their license is up for renewal, which is why
13 and 15,
right.
I think.
So you could renew it for a shorter period, longer period. There's a big economic consequence of how much alternative power would cost. But the first thing is you have to have power. So
and there isn't any at the moment.
There is not any any at the moment.
Did they get that deal?
Point something like 30% of the city's energy So you're talking about long-term.
Did they get that deal cut with the wire from New Jersey under the river?
There's a couple of different things, and I get confused. There's a gas pipeline that we want
to
build.
That's to the north slightly.
No, that comes through Jersey City over into New York. And then the governor's decision, which I fully support, on fracking outside of the watershed but not in the watershed is the right decision. And that will give some jobs and economic benefits upstate and give us a source of clean or relatively clean energy.
And coal plants could be switched over to natural gas.
That's what you want to do. Now, the coal industry is not happy about that, but the truth of the matter is nobody's yet come up with a ways to burn coal anywhere near as efficiently at an economic...
And they're working hard on it to get that...
I'm sure they are. And if, you know, it'd be different if you could get rid of the pollutants, then I don't have any problems with coal. But at the moment, coal pollutes, and it's a very big percentage of the greenhouse gases, and that's not good for us. So there's this gas pipeline. There's also an electric pipeline, electric cable coming down, and I just don't remember exactly where that stands.
And of course, the grid is a major national problem. I think everybody agrees that.
Yeah, we
on the go forward.
For example, if you want to use wind power, the places where there's a lot of wind don't have a lot of people, so you generate the electricity in the Great Plains. But you got to get it to where the people live, and we don't have the infrastructure to do that without, you know, in any size and efficiently. Technology exists, but you got to do that. We can also do wind offshore. Oil isn't really used to generate electricity. We say we want to free ourselves from foreign oil, and we do, but power generation is generally either coal or natural gas. And then there's hydro and wind and solar, but the hydro is big, but the wind and solar is just starting. There are really a lot of improvements being made. Solar actually has a lot of potential. GE announced, I think a few weeks ago, another breakthrough in terms of being able to make a solar panel that generates electricity much more efficiently so that the investment gives you a better return, and you can start selling electricity at the price. Solar electricity competitive, otherwise you can't do it, sure.
Your view of the economy here, it still continues to seem to
slip. It's very worrisome across the country. The president's trying to do his focus on it, and he should. We have interest rates at essentially zero, and I don't know what would happen if we didn't have that, but there's certainly not the kind of economic activity that you want. Businesses have to get confidence. Banks have money that they aren't lending it. Why? They don't want to run risks because everybody says, I don't want the banks running risks. Well, that's what banks do. You want them to run risks. The trouble is that when the risks turn bad, you go and blame everybody. And so the next banker in charge says, wait a second, I don't want to be accused of being a bad guy or going to jail or, you know, making stupid loans. So they take less risk. Business people that can use those loans are worried that the regulations in Washington are going to change. They don't like, business does not like uncertainty. You can't plan long term. You don't make hiring decisions, as do you and I. We don't go buy a house or take a chance on a new job or maybe make an investment in a college education for our kid. And if we don't have confidence that the regulations are going to be the same, and they look at Washington and this game that everybody seems to be playing a game of chicken on the debt ceiling. You know, a game of chicken's cute when you describe it, but if somebody doesn't turn away early, you hit head on. And it would be just, it wouldn't be the end of the world, but it would certainly hurt America. And I'm sympathetic with those that say, well, we spend too much money. I'm sympathetic with those that say, you know, we tax too heavily. I'm sympathetic with those that say we don't spend enough and we don't tax enough. Everybody's got a point. But this is not something that you should be playing politics with, and that's all it is. And I saw the president asked, and I think Harry Reid commented, to have Congress stay in session, or the Senate at least stay in session over the 4th. Now, you know, they're making a big deal. Well, I'm giving up my vacation for the public. Aren't I great? Come on. I mean, the rest, in the real world, if your boss says, I need you to work on Monday, a holiday, you work on Monday. That's the part of the deal.
Or go find another job.
Right. I mean, come on. But this is, the economy is sort of stuck at doesn't seem to be going down, but it's certainly not going up. Enormous number of people unemployed. We've got to create jobs in this country, but the real issue is creating jobs that the unemployed can take. So if you think about it, creating jobs for rocket scientists is nice, but the rocket scientists are all outside the country, won't give them visas, so they can't come in and take those. And the unemployed just don't have the skill sets that you need to be a rocket scientist. So you have to focus on jobs that, there's a couple things, and I think it's only small businesses that really fit the bill. You have to have kinds of companies looking for employees where they have non-traditional employment search practices. You don't go, if you're small store, and say, let me see your college transcript, and I see in philosophy you got a minus. What was that about? And that's not the kind of the people unemployed, and that's not what small businesses do. They take a look, John Gamble, he looks like he's a decent guy.
We'll give him a shot.
So and if you had, not great command of the English language, or not a formal education, didn't graduate high school or something, or you had a problem in your background, maybe one time a DWI conviction or a drug problem. Once you have, small businesses will overlook all those things, or probably won't even find out about them, not even ask about them. So non-traditional hiring practices. Number two, you got to do training on the job. People, once you get out of school, they don't go back to school. There's a handful, and we always have a paper say, isn't it wonderful? John Gamble went back to school at age, trying to finish his high school education at age 73.
Okay, you found me out.
Great, but that's not the real world. You want to train on the job. You have to have, and that's what small businesses do, you have to have flexible hours. A lot of the unemployed have family obligations that they just can't get out of, and small businesses do that. And you also have to have businesses that don't get a lot of benefits from technology in terms of efficiencies. Big companies can use technology to do more with less. Small companies typically can't. And we're trying to create jobs. You want bottom line profits as well, but we're trying. So the only thing that fits is small businesses, and that's one business at a time. Congress has trouble dealing with that. They can vote or build it for the whole country, but you have to go into each neighborhood. And one of the things that our deputy mayor for Economic Development, Bob Steele, and Seth Pinsky from EDC have done, that work very hard on small businesses. A guy went over in Brooklyn, Smash Burger is the name of a company, new hamburger place. Mm-hmm. 20 stores and chain, but the owner of this particular store was there, as was the guy who started the chain. And the hamburgers were great, incidentally. But he went to our small business service. They arranged for all the permitting. We did it in 2 months. We used to take 6 months to a year. We're working on reducing that time. He hired, I think he said something like 40 or 45 people, all provided by our Department of Small Business Services, who had screened and trained.
So I got it done like that.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's the ways you do it. Small business, one at a time. And we put 35,000, 40,000 people to work this last year alone through the Small Business Service. You've got to reduce taxes, reduce the bureaucracy, the permitting, and that sort of thing, to get people to come in and start small businesses. They will employ the current people who are currently unemployed and lead this country out of recession, not big business. We want big business to do well. They pay a lot of taxes.
And you talked about this, and in relationship to the gay marriage bill, that small businesses, caterers and flower people.
Yeah, stuff helps, and the gay marriage bill helps New York, because people will come here. And the other thing is immigration. If you want to fix this country's problems, you have to. We had talked about this, and having visas that just would say you got to go to this big old city that's lost half its population, you got to live there. That really is a no-cost solution, and it would work. And so, but those are the kinds of things, and these aren't things that Congress does well, because it's not one size fits all.
Good. All right, Mr. Mayor, we got some folks on the line here with some questions. We have a couple of lines open, 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. We'll be right back.
John Gamling and Mayor Mike on News Talk Radio 710. Mayor Michael Bloomberg with John Gamling on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
When the sun goes down, all up on the moon, and your shoes get so hot, you wish your tired feet were fireproof. Under
Drifters with one of the great summertime songs on a Summer Songs Bumper Music Friday under the boardwalk. I suspect with the weather the way it's going to be, Coney Island and the boardwalks will be jammed.
I think so. Once again, fireworks and lifeguards, but going to be a great time.
All right, let's go to the telephones, Mr. Mayor, on line number four here. Allison, you've got the mayor. What's your question? Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Right down the block from us is a train yard, and either the trucks or the people who are coming off shift fly down our block because there is no stop sign. It's a residential block with a ton of kids. In fact, this morning I was waiting with my kids for the bus, and I hear a truck honking their horn and flying, and the truck is flying down my street.
I'll tell you what. I don't know the intersection. What street is it? And then we'll ask the Department of Transportation.
Okay, it's 78th Drive and 138th Street.
78th Drive and 138th Street. 78th Drive and 138th Street. We got it?
Yeah.
We got it. We'll take a look at it. And
Stu's got it in the machine. It'll
take
be
a look at
care.
It. Yeah. Part of the thing, Allison, is the federal government, believe it or not, has requirements of when you can put in stoplights and stop signs. Because I always wanted to have a stoplight. There's a place on Staten Island as you go through a public golf course, and you come zipping up the hill, and people have to cross. And I once said to our transportation commissioner, why can't we put that? And it turns out that the federal government rules. You want to rip your hair out. But Allison will look at this one.
We don't make it easy, do we, for ourselves. Jay in Queens, you've got the mayor. Go.
Mr. Mayor, maybe one of the ways to help reduce the city budget is eventually to start eliminating the public housing projects in New York City and bringing some of them back to market rate housing.
And Jay, people have said this over years. The truth of the matter is that politically, number one, I don't think it would be possible, and I'm not sure it's a good idea. We want to have a balance between market rate luxury housing and housing for people who don't have a lot of money but help build the city and want to live here and contribute to our economy. We have a program to build or renovate 165,000 units of affordable housing, which houses more people than live in Atlanta, something like 500,000 people. But having said that, that's still a very small amount of the total housing in the city. And the housing, low-income housing, creates construction jobs. So the construction industry wants you to keep building. And it's a balance. This city has traditionally had a lot of city-subsidized housing. And a decent percentage of the population lives in it. There is, on the other hand, enormous amount of private sector housing built, which really is dwarfs it and continues to go. But look, Jay, we're looking at everything you can possibly do to save money. But in this case, I think we do need housing for those who, are with us in the tough times.
All right, now let's go to...
You want to do a tweet?
Yeah, you got a tweet?
You betcha. Somebody tweeted us and said, will parks in New York City get Wi-Fi capability? And the truth of the matter is we have three already. AT&T is doing it gratis, so you don't have to spend any money. 20-odd parks they're going to do, something like that. And three of them are done
already. Would you see a time where Wi-Fi would be everywhere in the street?
Yeah, I mean, if you drive down the street, Wi-Fi is everywhere. Just look at your smartphone or iPad or whatever you have. It's a lot of them are private Wi-Fis, and they require a code, and people don't want you to use theirs. But we're going in the direction of communications. I tried a new modem in the car. And it's 4G. It's just much faster. And we complain about the response.
So you have wireless
time.
In the car?
Yeah. Well, it's wireless, so you don't have to plug in, but it's still a regular cell out to the world.
Gotcha.
They these things are very inexpensive, and everybody's going to have these in their homes. It's a very easy thing to put in, and more people. You say, all this stuff costs money. The average kid walks around carrying a computer more powerful than the biggest IBM computer of the 1960s with more storage capacity. And we complain about the dead spots, and we complain about drop calls, and we complain about not having enough bandwidth. 10 years ago, this didn't, none of this existed, and the pace, it's hard to remember or realize how far we've come from 2 years ago to today, and where we're going to be 2 years from now. Today, you know, you want to watch a television program or a movie. It just bang,
and pick up your phone.
There it is.
And then there
absolutely.
It is. All right, let's go to line two here. Line two is Eileen. Hi, Eileen. Go.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Good morning, Mayor. I think you're doing a fabulous job. We are lifelong New Yorkers, but we did move to New Jersey to raise our family. But my daughter is going to be a senior at college in New Jersey, and her dream is to teach in New York,
go to
graduate school in Hunter. But I wanted to know, how does that jive with... Then I heard a commercial for Teach NYC looking for good candidates.
You know, Eileen, you just embarrassed your daughter. Hey, Eileen, you just embarrassed your daughter by asking the mayor for a job. I'm kidding you, of course.
No, it's funny.
I mean, Eileen, even when we downsize, we have to have certain teachers with certain specialties, special ed, and we never have enough math and science teachers. So even when you downsize, you are constantly out there. People say, why do you have a recruiting program going? Because we have no choice. We're mandated for some of the special ed stuff and some of the other stuff. There's specialty arts and a lot of things like that. My hope is by the time she finishes, the economy is better, and you know, we'd love to have more teachers, smaller class sizes. I can't tell you that in the next 12 months I see that happening. I think it's worrisome. It may be going in the other direction, but you know, your daughter is not unusual. If you opened the doors today and said we were going to hire a bunch of teachers, you'd have 50, 60, 70,000 applicants from across the country. It's a great school system. It, no matter what some people say, it is getting better all the time. Arnie Duncan and the president say so. So do all the real experts. And people want to be part of a school system that gets better and better. And they want to live in New York City where it's exciting and safe. And that's, it used to be the parents
I think
did
that,
not.
That's just as much
parents support, did not want their kids to come to New York because, oh, you know, what happens? You get assigned to a bad neighborhood or whatever. Today, the kids are, those neighborhoods, they're moving into those neighborhoods. And, you know, the low crime, it's sad you have to start out with low crime. There's a discussion, but low crime lets everything else happen.
Well, that's great. And that's why this is going to be a big weekend. Enjoy yourself. I will not see you next week.
You enjoy. I'm going to be away. You're going to be away.
Yes, I will.
Hopefully, we both can cuddle a golf.
I would like to. Absolutely.
Hit them straight, as they say.
Yeah, you as well, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much. Happy 4th of July to you and Diane.